listen.
The mics are on.
What?
The mics are on.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
We didn't say anybody's name, did we?
No, I don't think so.
This rover.
Let's get ready to rumble.
That's us, the Rumblers. Maybe we'll change the name. Welcome to the Rumblers.
And it has a different meaning with us.
Yeah, it does. It's a stomach description. I don't know why. I just think it's going to be a good day. I don't have a specific reason why I think that.
It's beautiful out.
Well, it's spring. Oh, wait, no, it's not. It's still officially winter. How about that winter? How about 80-degree winter?
Man.
And we will tell the snowmobile joke today. My daughter called me less than an hour ago about something. And then before she hung up, she said, by the way, she says, Dad, she says, I didn't get the joke yesterday.
She didn't get it?
The igloo joke. And I said, we've told this joke for like 30 years. She said, yeah, but I don't get it. So I had, now, for all of those three of you who, after all these years, and I'm serious when I say this, in all these years, I have never had an email or a letter in the old days from anybody that said, I didn't get the igloo joke. So, you see, the joke, I guess I almost have to retell it. It's these igloos, these Eskimos, and they're bragging about who has the coldest igloo. So the one takes the other two over, and he pees, and it freezes into a golden, just a golden arch of pee. He says, see, that's cold, frozen pee. And the second one says, no, and he takes a pot of boiling water and dumps it over top of his head, but it freezes in a big sickle before it reaches his head. Frozen boiling water. That's a cold igloo. And the third guy says, nah, that's not cold. Come over to my igloo. He takes him over to his igloo, pulls the covers back on the bed, and on the sheet is a brown stain. So, Dan, you just heard it yesterday.
I know.
Easy.
He's getting picked up again.
And so he walks over to the brown stain, takes a match, he strikes the match, and he holds the match flame with his hand cupped around it, down by the brown stain. And in about 5 seconds, they hear. And she said, I didn't get it. See, it's frozen. I don't like this word, F-A-R-T, but it's a frozen F-A-R-T.
It's so cold.
It's so cold, sound freezes.
Yeah.
That's how cold it is. Sound actually freezes.
And it just made a little stain right there.
And it warmed up and thawed out the sound. Wow. She's my daughter.
Goodness.
Look, there have been jokes that I haven't gotten that people have told. I've actually, you said the words, I don't get it. So I guess there every once in a while is a joke. Now, there's some jokes that you tell that if you ever meet somebody who says, I don't get it, unfriend them. Because they're just jokes everybody gets. So that's one now that all of you who didn't get it, hopefully you're listening and now you do. Today will be the snowmobile joke. Now, I guess there'll be somebody, one person out there who won't get the snowmobile joke. I'm not explaining that one.
No.
Yeah, that one I can't explain to you. You'll either get it or you won't. Boy, oh boy, the Ides of March. You know this is the Ides of March. This is the day that Julius Caesar was murdered by Brutus.
Really?
Yeah.
Brutus from Popeye?
Yes, and not only was Brutus. Thanks a lot, Dan. You ruined it.
No,
you ruined it. You ruined it.
Oh, my goodness.
This is why we should have rehearsal.
Oh, no.
See, this is why we should rehearse. My next line was going to be, and not only was Brutus never convicted or go to jail, he went on to have a very successful career with Popeye. But I can't do it now. No,
I wouldn't do it now.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Dan.
I'm sorry.
Now, do you remember what Caesar said when he felt the knife go in? When he said to Brutus?
Something about Brute.
Et tu, Brute?
Et tu, that's right. Et tu, Brute. You know what that means? That's Latin. You know what it means?
I
and
Brute.
You, Brutus?
And you, or you too, Brutus? In other words, you too have turned against me?
You've
turned on me, et tu. Now, a lot of people say that the real story is Brutus was mad because he had boiled a dozen eggs, and he thought Julius Caesar ate them all, but he only ate two. And he said, et tu, Brute. His grammar was bad. You know, et, that's hillbilly grammar. Which means in Latin, I only ate two, Brutus. So, et tu, Brute. So he killed him for all the wrong reasons. He killed him over something he didn't do, and that's eat all one dozen of the eggs. I think that's the true story.
Hard-boiled eggs?
Yeah. I believe that's the actual story as it happened in history.
Well, yeah.
I go with the egg story.
Well, that's close to Easter, so...
Yeah, see, there you go. Yeah,
they probably boiled some
good point.
Eggs.
They were getting ready to dye some eggs. They boiled them, and then somebody had eaten them all, and he blamed it on Julius Caesar. Oh, and as he was dying, he said, no. This is my impression of a dying stabbed man. Tu, Brute. I took 2 years of Latin, and so I know that means I only ate two, Brutus. But it is the Ides of March, the 15th day. What does Ides mean? Doesn't it mean middle?
Well, beware the Ides of March.
But Ides, I think, means middle.
Or the middle of March, that would make sense.
Or does the word Ides mean 15?
The Ides.
Our research department called Peon will look it up right now. He's our entire research department.
That was the band, too. Ides of March, right?
Yeah, which I used to think was Chicago.
Oh, yeah, they do sound like
the
Chicago.
The Ides in the Roman calendar equal the 15th day of March. But it also says May, June, and October.
Ides of October.
And the 13th day of the other months. What?
Well, that is... those Latin
itis.
People.
That's the Latin term, itis.
Itis.
That's really weird.
All right, let's drop. It's too complicated.
Yeah,
it's too complicated for us at this point. But it is the 15th day of March. To a lot of people, it's very close to spring. To a lot of people, it's an unusually warm winter's day. Because it is winter's day. In dark December. I am a rock. Isn't that the song, Simon Garfunkel?
I don't know. Yeah,
I guess
so.
But to me, it's just another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
I'm going to have to write that down. It's the 3rd of June.
You really should at this point.
3rd of June, I should write that down.
I got a text from Paul Harris. He said Caesar's actually first words after being stabbed were, ah!
Now, you know what? If he would be that funny when he would come in on Friday... People would love him. Paul made a mistake. You know, Dom DeLuise.
Well, that's the problem, though. He has all these good lines, but by Friday, it's already old news. It's not the Ides of March anymore.
But Dom DeLuise used to have a bit where he'd say, "No applause, please, save it for the end."
Yeah.
You want people not applause, or save it for the end. Paul, save it for Friday. Okay? No funny comedy, please, save it for Friday. But you see, that still would have been funny Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Because Paul could have said, I'm Paul Harris, and before we get to knuckleheads in the news, and as most of you know, we just passed the Ides of March. The Ides of March was Tuesday, and a lot of people say that Caesar's last words were et tu, Brute. No, his last sound that he made, actually, was, ah! See, still funny on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Paul, you can't do it. Can't do it to people. Now you got to come up with something else funny because you have to sprinkle comedy in with knuckleheads in the news. And what else does he do? I don't even know. What does he do? What are his
Harris Challenge?
What are his signature Harris Challenge? Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, it is.
Is that it for him? That's pretty
his signature things.
That's pretty much it, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's all he's got.
Yeah, Harris Challenge, and which is
sad,
and then knuckleheads in the news.
Wow. Okay.
He has us. piano.
And that's and that, Dan, and that, Dan, is all anyone needs.
Yeah.
It's all any radio personality needs is you and piano. Yeah. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. So, does anybody have anything to say?
I do not today.
I don't either.
And you, well, we don't have to close it because we're not going to open it. I would like to plant the seed before we talk to John Landolf.
Oh, we don't talk to him today.
Well, I will talk to him.
Oh, you will?
I will talk about him.
Oh, okay.
Edit that out.
All right.
Okay, edit out.
Yeah, that sounded really bad.
Take it up to where I said so and pick it up there.
All right.
Before I speak about John Landolf and his fantastic Chevy dealership, I would like to plant a seed, food for thought, if you would. And I want you folks to call us about this because I've always been fascinated by people who collect things. A week ago Sunday on CBS Sunday Morning, one of the best shows on television, I might add, Bill Geist, who still does an occasional report, even though he's got serious Parkinson's disease, and he does these offbeat stories, this carnival that takes place every year in some little town in Arkansas. You know the kind of stories, if you've ever seen the story. So a week ago, Sunday, he did a segment about a convention he went to, and it's all people who collect salt and pepper shakers.
Oh.
Now, I've seen segments done on people who collect ashtrays, and you can't believe the people who collect ashtrays and how many they collect. Now, the only thing, I don't collect anything. Debt. My wife doesn't collect anything. We did go through a phase when we were first married. She was a travel agent. Shortly after we got married, she was a travel agent for 16 years. So it's not collecting in the sense that we go to trade shows or do anything with them, but for a few years, we would pick up books of matches.
Yes.
Everywhere we went, St. Thomas, wherever, cruise line, book of matches had a cruise line on it or a hotel.
And did you have a great big, like, huge jar or brandy snifter or something?
No, bigger than that.
Yeah.
Like an aquarium-sized thing.
Oh, man.
Full. You know what it was? It was an oversized brandy snifter.
Yeah.
It looked like a big fishbowl, piled full of matchbooks.
Yeah.
And somewhere, we still have them. What a fire hazard, by the way. I don't even know where they are. It's a big pile of matches. We also, because we didn't drink much at all and still don't, we would collect those airline bottles because in the good old days, travel agents got treated like royalty. So we travel a lot of times first class, and we'd get those little miniature bottles of Jack Daniels or whatever, and we took them home. We must have had 400 or 500.
I know people that do shot glasses. They'll go out.
That's
somewhere.
Another thing people collect. But this thing was a segment on salt and pepper shakers. So I thought, what a weird thing to collect. But then it's not any weirder than anything else because we think of salt and pepper shakers as you visualize maybe three or four kinds in your head. One that's on a diner counter, one that's real fancy and crystal, one that's just would be found in anybody's home that you can buy at Target. But there were, I mean, there are Elvis salt and pepper shakers, and Marilyn Monroe, and Mickey Mouse, and Minnie Mouse, and Pluto salt and pepper shakers, and Indiana Jones salt and pepper. So anything that's ever been a theme, the marketing people for movies, Star Wars salt and pepper. There was one woman, and I think they saved it for the end because it was so dramatic, in her home. And when I give you this number, multiply it by 2, because this is the number of pairs of salt and pepper shakers. She has 55,000 shaker
good
combos.
Grief.
Her husband is a carpenter. He had to build, not shelves or cabinets, rooms. And you it's like a museum behind glass, cabinets of just endless salt and pepper shakers. Now, to me, and I don't like to call anybody crazy. Well, I like to call some people crazy. There's sort of something wrong with that. There's something different in your brain that causes you to do that. And that doesn't make it a bad thing. I think anything is good if it keeps you out of an insane asylum or off the streets or from being a criminal or doing a bunch of other crazy. That hurting anybody. And I sometimes wish I had that. I wish I had a passion that I was restoring a car or building a home-built airplane or that I had a massive railroad layout in my basement. I think there's a lot to be said therapeutically for those people who go home from work, have dinner, and then go to the garage or basement and work on their hobby. And I don't have that because I don't know how to do anything. Now, it brings me to this. We'll take a break, and I would love for you to call me and tell me if you collect anything. We're not going to make fun of you. Maybe. No, we're not going to make fun of you. I do remember that several years ago, and I'm not sure how I found this out. I think I read it in a magazine or a paper that there's a guy in St. Louis who had over 1,000 harmonicas. So we had him on the air.
Oh,
you remember,
yeah.
Dan, do you remember
yes.
this guy?
Yeah.
He did not know how to play one song on the harmonica.
Yeah.
But he had over 1,000 of them. And I don't remember much about the interview, but I know I did ask him because how could you not ask him? Why? Why do you collect harmonica? I could see it if you were a harmonica player. And his answer was something like, I don't know, I was a kid and I got a harmonica for a present or something. And then I saw another one. I thought I'll have two. And it just kind of goes from there. And that becomes your hobby is collecting harmonicas. Now, we used to have a friend. And her thing was little ceramic elephants. Or essentially any kind of elephant.
Oh.
But the trunks had to be up.
Oh, I know somebody like that with ducks. They had little ducks everywhere.
And turtles.
Yeah.
And the trunks had to be up because an elephant's trunk being up is good luck. I know when my trunk is up, I'm hoping for good luck.
Yeah.
So that sort of thing. So stamp collecting.
Beer cans.
I'm going to ask maybe you not call if you're a stamp collector. Okay, you can call, but that's not exciting. Or I've never gotten the stamp thing.
Oh, it is to them, though. If they see a certain stamp, it's like, woo!
They go crazy.
Yeah, Dan said beer cans. I've seen old oil cans people have collected.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah.
No, I went to a flea market thing one day, and a guy had a big table or several tables with oil cans. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. He said, no, look at this. This is from 1927. You can only buy it at the Gulf and service stations. And it was only the company, the oil company was only in the whole history. That's the other thing. They don't just collect them. They can pick up any one of them and tell you the whole story.
Oh, yeah.
So they're not stupid people. They obviously have a great ability to retain information. But I'm going to give you our numbers. Now, obviously, some things are much more affordable to collect than others because they're essentially free. Books of matches, they're free. Little airline bottles, free unless you buy a drink or two. But when you start collecting motorcycles and guns, and I don't collect guns. I have lots of guns, but that's different. I don't collect them. I don't collect cars. I don't have the money to collect cars. I have cars, but I don't collect cars.
Yeah, like Jay Leno and Isla.
No, my God, no, that's a different level. Yeah, Jay Leno. That's a real collector. So what do you collect? Why do you do it? How many do you have and what is it? That's what we'd love to know. 314. Be willing to hang on for 4 or 5 minutes, and we'll get right to you. 314-969-KTRS, 888-550-KTRS. Or from any cell phone, from any cell phone star, KTRS. I just started doing that recently because it just occurred to me. Most everybody calls from a cell phone. That's the world we live in. We'll get to that right after this little commercial break. For those of you out there right now, I'm not sure why, but spring is the time of year when your mind and your body do weird things. You know, they say that a young man's fancy turns to love in the spring. I got news for you. A young man's fancy is thinking about that all the time. But you do tend to be happier, I think, when spring comes. you have more energy when spring comes. And for whatever reason, car fever hits a lot of people in the spring. Maybe it's after a winter of watching your car get hit with sludge and salt and just blah. And you're ready to make everything new and fresh in the spring, including your car. If you're one of those people and you got car fever, I'm never going to tell you, ever, the only place to buy a car is Johnny Londo. I hear commercials like that every day. I hear them on our own station, and I want to vomit when I hear them, because that's not a good way to sell, because it's not believable. There are other good places to buy cars. We just don't care about them, and we don't want you to care about them, because I'd be willing to bet not any one of them is any better than Johnny Londo Chevrolet. Johnny Londo Chevrolet is as good as it probably gets when it comes to car dealerships. Certainly there's another dealer or two that have pretty high standards, treat people well. So what? We don't care. Now, if you want a Maserati and you think you have to have a Maserati, my first suggestion would be buy it out of town. That's a real, real inside slam at something. My second suggestion would be, what about another car? Because if you're going to get a real expensive car, Aston Martin, don't you need sort of an everyday car? Do you really want to take that thing out in the real crappy way? No, of course you don't. Here we go. Johnny Londo Chevrolet. Even for the Aston Martin buyer or the Lamborghini buyer, good, dependable Johnny Londo Chevrolet. I don't know why they stopped making the Avalanche. I loved the Avalanche. There was word they were going to bring it back in 15. I don't believe they did. Maybe 16, 17 they will. But what they do have is a fantastic pickup truck called the Silverado. The best Impala since 1964 is the Impala that Chevy has right now. And, of course, the place we want you to get them, since they're the same everywhere, an Impala is an Impala, no matter what dealership. But a dealership is not a dealership, meaning they're not all the same. You'll see, and you'll only see, and you'll only understand what we're talking about if you will give them a shot at your business and shop there. Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270. Been there a long, long time, and I always have to stop and think about that. Been there 56 years at that same location, and of course, 24/7 you can shop at Londoff.com.
Meet me.
Time to look at traffic right now with Tim Weiland.
All right, so far it's not that bad. We do have some road work that's going on coming in on westbound 5570 right around Maryville and 159. There's some slowdowns there due to road work. They've also, on eastbound Highway 44 from about Arsenal to, I guess a little bit east of Hampton, they've taken down. They're going to be doing some ongoing road work, so only the two left lanes are open. So that's about where the backup is. Then on westbound 40, we're running slow from Kings Highway through McCausland. This traffic report brought to you by Firestone. This weekend only at Firestone Complete Auto Care, get up to $100 off any purchase of $500 or more. See store or driveafirestone.com for details. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone. From the Vincent Mortgage Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage. 314-839-9999. NMLS number 225095. This is the Big 550.
Yeah, baby.
KTRS.
Where St. Louis comes to talk.
If you're tired of having to deal with clogged gutters, I have a solution for you. Hi, this is Steve Mace with Aladdin Insulation. In addition to insulation, we also install gutters and gutter protection for homes and light commercial businesses. The protection keeps leaves, twigs, and unwanted debris out of your gutters. We can do 5 or 6 inch gutters depending on the water flow from your roof. A well-designed gutter system will also keep water from your basement, and it will keep you from having to climb that ladder. Aladdin offers various colors to match the style and colors of your home or business. Installation normally takes 1 to 2 days. We do a thorough cleanup, and our customers get a final walkthrough inspection to make sure you're completely happy. Call Aladdin Installation for a no-obligation estimate at 636-947-8000. That's 636-947-8000, or see our website at truteam.com. End clogged gutters forever with a call. call to Aladdin Insulation, 636-947-8000.
The signs are there.
Spring is just around the corner.
Finally, it'll be the time of year to put your feet up and enjoy the outdoors in your yard.
But on what?
On that old rickety weathered patio furniture? Instead, head to Suburban Leisure Center to take advantage of tremendous savings on new patio sets. Suburban Leisure Center has a great selection of everything you'd need to have yourself a mini resort in your yard with patio furniture from all the top brands, plus umbrellas and just about everything you'd need that will make you go, ah, on the patio. And a tremendous savings. And because you can actually sit on the furniture and feel the quality at Suburban Leisure Center, it's a lot better than ordering on the internet and hoping it looks like what you saw online.
Sure, this is it. Gee, it looks a lot smaller and lighter.
Isn't it time to replace that old weathered outdoor furniture you've put up with for years?
What are you waiting for?
With Suburban Leisure Center's unmatched selection and prices, you'll get what you need for less. Suburban Leisure Center is on Olive, just a mile west of 141.
Online at suburbanleisurecenter.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
If you're a guy over 40 and you want to stay on top of your game, try a sample bottle of GNC's top-selling, award-winning Nugenix. Listen, if you're experiencing lower sex drive, general sluggishness, and decreased performance, Nugenix is a powerful man-boosting formula. For 2013, it won GNC's Innovative Product of the Year and was also named GNC's number one selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting BOOST1 to 99000. Nugenix uses a clinically researched key ingredient to invigorate a man's body and increase his libido. Enjoy more passion, higher sex drive, improved performance. Be more the man you want to be in the gym and in the bedroom. You want to stay on top of your game, don't you? Then try top-selling, award-winning Nugenix and feel like the best man you can be. Nugenix is available at GNC and Vitamin Shoppe, but you can only get your complimentary bottle by texting BOOST1 to 99000. Again, text B-O-O-S-T and the number 1 to 99000.
100 wins.
It's a Redbird winner.
Three straight Central Division titles.
It's gone to the Cardinals. Jump on top.
An unprecedented five straight postseason berths.
The Redbirds win it 4-0.
A National League best 55 home victories.
And a Central Division title for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Cardinals baseball is back in 2016. Single game tickets start at just $5 and are on sale now. Get yours at Cardinals.com.
The St. Louis Cardinals. Tradition meets today.
Do you want to go to lots of Cardinals games this summer, but don't have anything to wear? Well, the Cardinals have you covered. This season, they are giving away 6 replica jerseys, including Yadier Molina, Colton Wong, Mike Shannon, a 2006 mystery player, and more. Get tickets to all 6 giveaway dates, plus 4 more through the 10-game jersey pack, or buy them as an individual game ticket. On sale now at Cardinals.com. The St. Louis Cardinals. Tradition meets today.
On April 5th, St. Louis City voters will determine the future of the earnings tax.
I'm voting no. Too many special deals for wealthy business owners.
And working families like mine have to pay the full tax. It's not fair.
A no vote will phase out the tax over 10 years. That's right for St. Louis.
I'm voting no.
I'm definitely voting no on Prop E.
The working people of St. Louis City deserve better. I'm voting no.
Paid for by Vote No on the E-Tax. Debbie Schneider, Treasurer.
Weekday mornings at 6:35, Scott Crothers from Stifel Nicolaus with insights on the markets and investing. And for your own personal financial review, call him at 314-292-6201 and listen weekday mornings at 6:35 here on the Big 550 KTRS.
I want to thank you folks for holding. We'll get you in about a minute. The reason we do it this way is we're the only show who has the freedom to get commercials done and open it up so we have a big chunk of time where we can talk, and we're going to do that in about a minute. I just want to remind everybody, we are about to crack open the door to spring, and before you know it, it'll be summer and it'll be hot, and there will be people who will be using much more air conditioning than they need to use because the house is not as cool or staying as cool as it should, and that's because the windows are bad. And hot air gets in that should be kept outside. You know where this is headed? Window World. Now, you can't go on the air and say that Window World is the number one selling replacement window in the country unless it's true. We all go to prison. I looked it up. It's 25 years to life. That's what I'd be in for if I just lied and said that. So, if you say it, it has to be true. They are the original $189. I can't say they're the only window that's $189. That would be a lie. There is another window, one in particular, that's $189. You know why they're $189? Because Window World is. So let's say you have a window that's worth about, I don't know, $70. You say, we'll price it at $189. They'll think it's either Window World or just like Window World. No, it's not. The only thing's the same as the price. This window could not have a lifetime warranty. Lifetime. On the glass breakage. On everything. Labor. If it weren't a good window, they'd have been out of business a long time ago. 13 years in business, over the last 6 years, over 1 million Window World windows sold in this country each year. What else can I tell you? Window World. Window World of St. Louis. 314-993-1800. That's 314-993-1800. Or go to windowworldstlouis.com. I'm going to get to some collectors. Let me start with Bart. Bart, how are you?
Great, but I'm aiming the piano.
That's why you're great. That's exactly right. So what do you got, Bart?
I actually collect dollar coins from casinos. Chips.
Chips?
Yep. And some of them actually have amazing value to them now because the casinos are long gone.
But most of them are worth at best a dollar, if that.
No, they're actually worth more. I was surprised. I just started doing it on a whim.
Now, hang on a second. They're not all worth more, because if I go right now to any casino around St. Louis and get a $1 chip, where is it worth more than a dollar?
Oh, no, see, there might be somebody in New York who wants that chip, and they'll pay you $2 for it.
Oh, okay.
So, it's just one of those things, and it's a lot of the ones, like for instance, the Bellagio, remember they got robbed a couple years back?
Yeah.
So, immediately, they pull all those chips and destroy them, and they start over again. They always have a second set of chips ready to go, just for that kind of circumstance that happened.
Okay.
And so now those old chips are out of circulation.
They're worth $1.10.
Well, some of them, yes. But actually, I was actually at the Horseshoe when the IRS raided it, shut it down, and they gave us the option to cash out our coins. And I went in and I cashed all my high-dollar ones in, but I kept $10 worth of the $1 chips. And those are all now anywhere from any given day worth like $25 to $45.
Okay, so for the most part, your hobby costs you a dollar for each
Correct.
Chip you get, which in the scheme of things is not that bad. I mean, there are people
Correct.
That collect things they have to pay more than a dollar for. They go to these conventions and they'll pay hundreds of dollars for things.
Correct. Yeah,
I'm a gambler, but I don't gamble with chips, but I think that's a great hobby. I like that hobby.
Yeah, well, plus, it's hard to destroy them. They can, they get wet, they can whatever.
Store them anywhere. And by the way, what a fun your friends have when they come over to play poker. Got any chips? Do I have chips?
Have you sold any of those, Bart?
A couple of the Horseshoe ones I did, when they were, that's one of those things, it's like when somebody passes away and you have their autograph, that's when their autograph really shoots up in value.
Yeah.
And that's when it's worth the most. So I sold about 5 of them then. I think I got like $100 a piece for those dollar ones from Binion.
Nice.
When that all went down.
I have an FM DJ that I used to know. He had a chip. It was a $500 chip from the old Sands Hotel.
I think I have one of those, and I think I paid like $20 for it.
Well, he sold his for $30.
Yeah, exactly.
He's an FM DJ.
Yeah.
$500 he paid, sold it for $30.
And you were speaking of your of car collecting earlier, the late great, I emphasize the great, Jerry Clinton. His car buying... what was it? I can't remember what he had first, the Bentley GT or the Continental, whichever it was. I remember him telling me that he liked the one so much he went out and bought the other one.
Well, then he bought an Arnage sedan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he decided he didn't like the dealership anymore, so he stopped buying cars there.
I told him one time after I saw him coming to a screeching stop off getting off of 40 on the Lindbergh, I said to him, why don't you get the windows tinted on that? And he said to me, he's like, because I want people to see me when I'm flipping them off.
No, he would say that. He also had a Mustang GT. We're not going to stay on the cars, but he had a...
Yeah.
Hey, Bart, thank you for the call.
All right.
Appreciate it. That's a good one. Casino chips.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. All right, Joe's next. Thank you for waiting, Joe. What do you have?
How you doing, Frank? AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Frank, you're probably going to like this because you're a pilot like me. This is something that's kind of gone out of style. New kids today wouldn't know, but when I was a kid, I used to collect airline timetables. You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so sad that the economics of the airlines, you know, trying to nickel dime, they don't put out timetables anymore. It was the greatest thing in the world. Go to the airport, go to each airline, pick up the timetables. It was great. You could see all around the world where everything was. I was great in geography as a kid because I used to read the timetables, knew where all these crazy cities were, TWA, Pan Am.
Well, you just made me think of another great thing to collect would be anything from the good old days of travel when the flight, let's just call them stewardesses, okay, because they were, when they dressed like they should dress, when passengers dressed like they should dress, any memento, anything from a first class seat, anything from that era would be fun.
I got those two from, I got TWA coffee cups. You know, Pan Am coffee cups. Do you remember in the old days, Frank, when they used to lay linen on trays? No one today would even know what you're talking about.
I absolutely know what you're talking about. A hot towel, and then another one to clean your hands with, and then the linen on your tray. Oh, absolutely. And to collect anything from an airline that's no longer around, I think would be a good collection.
Oh, I got old stuff from Brit Airways, Missouri Valley Airlines. You remember the old Ozark? I have all those old timetables. And it's weird that jets back then would go to places like Fort Dodge, Joplin, just places like that. You
explain,
know
explain to people, Joe, what a timetable is.
A timetable is like, let's say, like with TWA, I have a great one in 1986 in St. Louis, was their biggest hub. And what it does is all the flights that arrive and depart, I mean, back in the old days, if you ever remember the old timetables, they wrote it down like trains where it was very hard to read. At least now, when it was coming up, they would show you St. Louis to and from. You remember that?
Right.
And then if you had an OAG, it would be like, okay, am I going from St. Louis to this city or is this from to? You remember? You had to remember that.
Yep.
But it would just show you, like Lambert at one time in 86, you know, had so many flights from so many airlines, and we had international destinations. I mean, it's like going back in time. I still look at these timetables. It's unreal how huge St. Louis was at one time.
Now, Joe, before you get away, let me ask you a question. Yeah. And no, but most people aren't going to care about this, and I apologize.
Right. I know that.
Help me out here. Do you remember, and this wasn't that long ago, was it called the E6B wheel or that little calculating wheel, that little cardboard thing?
Right. No, the whiz wheel. They used to call it the whiz wheel.
Yeah, but it was called E6. There was a name for it, E6B or something. It was the equivalent of the old slide rule. And if you're going to learn to fly, you had to bring this convoluted thing out and try to figure out. It was just horrible. It was horrible.
Miserable. And I mean, like I said, you had to know calculus to do that. It was like Chinese math back then.
Yeah, I never did figure that thing out, and I still got a license. So, but I also never figured out holding patterns. Thank goodness I never got put in one.
Or a teardrop entry. How about that one? You remember trying to do that one?
Parallel teardrop. I remember all that crap. I hated that stuff. Joe, thank you for the call.
Hey, thank you. Hey, guys, thank you.
Sorry for the pilot chat. But you know what? If people could do it, I would recommend that everybody take pilot's lessons. I don't mean get a license. I mean take just enough pilot training that you make your solo flight. And you know, surprisingly to most people, you will do that in the minimum, I think legally, is 10 hours. Average is 15 to 20 hours. In 15, 18 hours of study, you will fly an airplane by yourself around the airport and land it. That sounds hard to believe, but it's true. And I would recommend if you've got $3,000-$4,000 and you want to do something that most people never do, most people, go take flying lessons and solo a plane, and you can say you have flown a plane. Is Laura next or Dennis?
Dennis.
Dennis is next. Dennis, go ahead. How are you?
Hi, Frank. Real good. Thank you very much.
What do you collect, Dennis?
I collect old archery equipment.
Old archery equipment?
Yeah, anything before the 1970s, all before the head wheels and pulleys on. Your old
actual bow and arrow stuff.
Back when like Robin Hood had bows and arrows, you know, Indian arrows, stuff like that.
How many do you have?
I don't really know.
Well, that's a lot if you don't know.
Yeah.
Because if you had 10, you could count them.
I would say 230.
230 bows. How many arrows?
I don't have a clue, but I'm saying I got to have 5,000 or better.
Wow.
Holy God. Got shells full of them. I mean, I haven't seen some of them for 10 years, probably. But
now, what do you intend to do with all these bows and arrows? Leave them?
I don't have any clue. I've got one daughter that's really interested in them. Yeah. And, you know, she may end up with them.
Now, you know why she's interested in them? To sell them.
Well, it's possible. I mean, so, you know, when I started collecting these...
Dad, when you die, I'd love to have... I've always been interested in those bows and arrows. I would love to have those. As soon as you kick the bucket, it's for sale!
Well, she also shoots. I mean, she does. My girls were raised with the two, you know, so they both shoot.
Oh, well, okay. If they're archers, then yeah.
I appreciate them, right. Yeah. And some of the stuff is back from the old... people don't know what feeder rounds are, 900 rounds, but... You know, I shot side-by-side with Earl Hoyt. I mean, he was...
I know that name, and Hoyt's a big archery name, and I don't even know anything about archery.
Yeah, they're both dead now, and I've got some of their stuff. In fact, I almost bought their business. You know, the EPA kept me out of it.
Hoyt's as big a name in archery as Colt or Browning is or are in firearms.
Right, well, I mean, Hoyt's out now. They're gone. The guy bought the business and changed name.
Was a mistake.
Yeah, it's terrible.
That was a mistake. Dennis, have fun with your bows and arrows. Thank you for
the call. I enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
That's a good one. See? Norman. Is this our Norman?
Yes, it is.
Well, we're kind of up against it here.
Maybe Norman collects some.
Yeah,
Norman, do you collect anything?
Kazoos.
You collect?
Kazoos.
How many do you have?
Yeah.
There's several.
How many would that be? Take a guess. How many?
Two, three, four.
He's counting them right now.
Oh, you're counting them right now? Oh.
How many, Norman?
Four.
Five.
Five.
What a collection.
Five. Whoa.
What a collection. That is some collection. Five kazoos.
Way to go, Norman.
Have you ever called the Guinness Book of World Records to see if that's a record kazoo collection?
I just have one.
Yeah, see, most people don't have one kazoo. The average American, I just read this, the average American does not own one kazoo. How about that?
Oh, that's horrible.
So that's how special it is to have five.
Way to go, Norman.
Norman, we're a little short on time here. What can we do for you today?
I'm going to play the happy birthday roll call.
Happy birthday roll call.
Wedding march.
And the wedding march. I think we have just enough time for those two songs. Take it away, Norman.
All right. I love that whistle at the end.
And now the wedding march. Give you an idea, something to think about here. If the day comes that you marry Ida or Rosemary, I think it would be appropriate, not only appropriate, I think it would be fantastic if you played your own wedding march on your own kazoo at your own wedding.
Oh, yeah.
As you walk down the aisle, you're playing.
Yeah.
That'd be something.
Yeah.
Well, you need to think about that.
Unique show in
AM/PM. All right, thank you, Norman.
Okay.
Bye-bye. I hate to cut Norman's show.
Yeah, I know.
But 2 weeks ago, we got a new advertiser. Hallelujah. And this is a smart guy named Joe Calmer who decided, hey, I'm tired of the world only knowing, the St. Louis part of the world, only and Illinois, only knowing about mega funeral homes with great big chandelier-ceilinged visitation rooms and fleets of cars and that's all that stuff that the customers have to pay for. I want them to know about us and what we do and what we've done for over 26 years. And when he says us, he's talking about himself, Joe Calmer, and his wife, Cheryl, along with people like Nancy Baldino, who's got a lot of experience in the funeral business, and in this particular case, primarily the cremation business. Let me read you this email. Folks, 2 weeks, and I'm already getting responses. Joe is getting calls. He got a hospice people that called him about picking someone up who was deceased and taking care of it in the right way, in the dignified way, but affordable way. A guy who lost his brother. And then listen to this email. So Frank, I wanted to let you know about my experience with Joe and Cheryl Calmer handling my late husband's cremation. They genuinely care about families. They are godly, loving business people who understand the sensitive nature of the work. And how they treat others is so important at this sorrowful and scary time. When my husband died, Joe Calmer was one of the first people I called. He was on vacation in Hawaii, and I didn't know that. But he immediately handled everything that was needed from thousands of miles away. I never had 1 second of worry that things would get done. It was amazing. His staff, when I contacted them, was great. Joe Calmer is professional, discreet. I would recommend Calmer Memorial Services to anyone. In fact, I referred him to my good friend when his father died, and they used the Calmers. They absolutely loved him, too. I attended that funeral and watched them handle everything like the pros that they are. Kelly, sorry about your husband. Thank you for the tremendous endorsement and testimonial about Calmer Memorial Services, which is the Illinois side. Their business on the Missouri side is American Cremation. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm never, ever, ever going to tell people what they should or shouldn't do when it comes to losing somebody, how you should handle it or how much money you should spend, but I will tell you this. There is so much unnecessary money spent on death. There's the word. There's the word people don't want to hear. We're all going to face it. It's not necessary. There's no correlation between dignified and money. There's not. Dignity has nothing to do with money. It has to do with how you're treated at this, as she said, scary time, and how it's handled. If you go to FrankOpinion.com and click on sponsors, you'll see Calmer Memorial in Illinois, American Cremation. I urge you to go and watch the video and listen.